begin this Lenten season, I ask that you speak to us through your word and through these words. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Many people who come from a liturgical background, or who don't come from a liturgical background, or who don't come from a church like ours, or the Roman Catholic Church, or the Orthodox Church, where we have a written down order of service and a liturgy from books and that sort of thing, they don't really understand why we celebrate things like Ash Wednesday and have a Lenten season and that sort of thing. They don't understand why we have to have all these special types of services. And part of the reason why is because they wonder, since Jesus has already finished everything on the cross, and since we are already redeemed and all those sorts of things, why do we have to keep going over the things that have already happened, such as the things in the Lenten season and leading up to Holy Week and that sort of thing? And what's hard for them to understand is why we focus during this season on fasting, penitence, repentance, prayer, and other somber aspects of our faith. And so it's difficult for some people to understand why we do these things. The answer, when they ask the question, why can't we just do these things all during the year? Can't we remember these things at any time during the year? And obviously the answer is yes, we can. And we should. But I think it's much like buying a new car. When you buy a new car, you are buying it with the idea that they want you to bring it in on a regular basis for maintenance and to just get it looked over and that sort of thing. And when you bring it in for that, for maintenance, for example, then the mechanic looks at it, and a lot of times they find something that needs to be fixed. And so it's then fixed. We tend to sometimes wait till something gets broken, and then we bring it in to get it fixed. But the Lenten season is kind of like that, in the sense that we take this special time to bring our lives to the mechanic, to Jesus Christ, asking Him to look at our lives and to see what's broken, what needs to be fixed, so that we can then turn that over to Him and allow Him to begin to heal us, allow Him to begin to change us, allow Him to begin to make us what we need to be. It's during this Lenten season that we ask Jesus to help us to face the temptations that we face in our lives, to help us with our spiritual disciplines, and to help us with besetting sins that we may continue to struggle with. God has given us some tools to use to help fix the things that are broken in our lives. And some of those tools are listed in our gospel lesson today from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. One tool that God has given to us is prayer. Prayer is a method by which we connect with our God. And as we connect with Him in prayer, we also have the ability to hear from God as He speaks to us about the things in our lives that might need to be changed, that might need to be taken care of, that might need to be fixed. As we pray more and more in our lives, as we give ourselves over to communion with God through prayer, then the more power we receive in our spiritual lives. Another tool that God has given us is the tool of fasting. Now, fasting is not all that popular amongst the church today. Fasting is where we go without a meal, for example, or more than one perhaps, and we spend the time that we would have spent eating focusing upon some spiritual discipline like prayer or Bible reading or some other spiritual discipline like that. And so fasting can be an important tool for us to use, because it helps us and it reminds us how connected we are to the things of this world. And it reminds us to begin to seek to break those connections, to not be so controlled by the things of this world, to not so be controlled by our food or whatever it may be. Giving is another tool that God has given us to help us to grow spiritually. By giving of our resources to the church and others, we remind ourselves of all the things that God has given us. And we simply are giving back to God what He has given to us. Giving helps us to rid our sinful natures of the selfishness that so often pervades them. Reading the Bible is also a key tool that God has given us to help us to fix what is wrong in our lives. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the psalmist says. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, David also adds. By getting the word of God into us and getting us into the word of God, we have the power of the life-changing scriptures to guide us and encourage us toward holy living. How much time do we spend reading scripture as opposed to perhaps surfing the internet or perhaps watching television or reading a book or whatever? We can't seem to find the time to read the Word of God, however. We can find time to watch Survivor, but we can't seem to find the time to read the writings of one of the greatest survivors, St. Paul. Some people find a tool for Lent in giving up something for Lent. And many of you have heard of the concept of giving up something for Lent. Now, one of the things we want to remember when we give up something for Lent is that we're doing that in order to deny ourselves and to help ourselves spiritually. But at the same time, we don't want to begin to take pride in something like that. For example, if someone asks you, what did you give up for Lent? And I say, well, I gave up chocolate. I feel pretty proud about that, you know. And it can become a source of pride, much like the Pharisees who loved to stand on the street corners and preach and pray so that everybody could see them and see how spiritual they are. And the idea behind us giving something up something is not to show others how spiritual we are, but to help deny ourselves so that we can then focus more on the things of God. Jesus didn't mean that we're not to pray in public or we're not to do things in public of a spiritual nature, but he said that we're not to do those things in order to be seen by others. In a few moments, we're going to have an ash cross put on our foreheads. And people often wonder, should I wash that off or should I wear it throughout the rest of the evening? And as I tell people, if you're going out in public, for example, you might want to keep it on as a way of witnessing so that people, when you go out to a restaurant or whatever, they say to you, hey, did you know you got dirt on your forehead? And you say, that's not dirt. Let me tell you what that is. And you have a chance then to explain what this is all about. Some people, however, might feel like they want to wash it off because they don't want to be practicing their piety before others. It really is up to the individual as to whether you wash it off or keep it on your foreheads. Whether you do either one, it doesn't matter so much to God. What's more important to God is the attitude of the heart regarding the ashes. So Lent is about examining our spiritual lives, seeing what needs fixing, and then set about using the tools God has given us to fix those things. In a moment, we're going to be receiving ashes on our foreheads, and as we do so, it's not just a ritual that we go through. Rather, it is an opportunity to remind ourselves that we are dust, that eventually our bodies are going to decay and disintegrate into dust. And as we receive those ash crosses on our foreheads, it reminds us of our humanity, of our sinful nature. But because we're making the sign of the cross, we're reminding ourselves of the fact that we have been redeemed. And those crosses are also on top of the crosses that many of us had made on our foreheads at our baptisms. That cross of oil that was made on our heads, reminding us that we are set aside as God's children, that we are set apart to serve the Lord, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. And so the ash cross on top of that reminds us of that sealing of the Holy Spirit that has united us to Christ as well. But it also reminds us that we, even though we have been redeemed, we still struggle with sin. Jim Tressiger tells the following story. It was my freshman year at the University of Oklahoma, and it was Ash Wednesday. That evening, my friend Dale and I went to St. John's Church for the imposition of ashes. And it was during this solemn occasion where Father Frank, a man small in stature but large in heart, was officiating. He carried the powdery ash in a silver bowl with his left hand and marked the sign of the cross with his right thumb after dipping it in the ash. As Father Frank passed in front of Dale, who later became a priest himself, and reached for his forehead, There may have been a little ash floating in the air, but whatever caused it, Dale let loose a mighty sneeze. Well, instantly the bowl emptied of the ash, and the ash took flight, covering everything with a soft gray patina. Father Frank, who had reflexively squinted his eyes as the powder flew at them, looked up with white circles around each eye, looking on his otherwise gray visage, looking like a pale copy of Al Jolson in blackface or a raccoon. Dale was kept from rising and running only by the press of those standing behind him. The congregation was making a masterful effort to suppress their mirth, but there were not an infrequent bursts of laughter. It's instantly suppressed. "It's all right, my son," said Father Frank. "Just wait a moment." He departed toward the sacristy, and very quickly Father Don appeared. He was a young priest serving as a curate for a while to gain a little experience before he had his own church. A football player in high school and in college, he carried the refilled bowl of ashes in his massive hand. As he stopped in front of my friend Dale, took on a look of pure terror. It was obvious that another sneeze was coming. He quickly turned away to his left. Father Don saw the expression and correctly interpreted it. He quickly turned away to his right. And so, of course, the bowl was perfectly exposed when Dale loosed a second mighty sneeze, emptying the bowl and bestrewing Father Don with its contents. That was more than the congregation could take. Laughter became general and prolonged. Father Don looked down at Dale rather than like a gray mountain inclining at his peak. "Well, Dale," he whispered, "you've taken out the priest and the curate. Would you like to take a shot at the acolyte as well?" When he raised his considerable voice, he said to the congregation, and this is the reason I bring this whole story up, "Remember now, the Bible teaches us that no matter what we have done, we can start fresh. If we'll go back to our seats for a moment or two, we'll pick up where we left off. Lent is all about exposing what is broken down in our lives, the sinful parts of our lives, and having Jesus heal them, and starting afresh. Our goal should be to have our spiritual lives sufficiently repaired so that at Eastertide, at the Easter celebration, we'll have no impediments to a joyful Eastertide. I would encourage you during this Lenten season to use the tools of prayer, Bible study, fasting, and giving to overhaul your spiritual lives. May the ashes you receive today serve as a reminder of who you are and what Christ has done for you." Let us pray.